pretty busy in the last 6 months, especially the last 6 months since we started the building program. And you would have seen that the building that we're building in Sibiu is just a small little kind of a shed, and it seats about 20 people, and it's a temporary structure because we're waiting for the proper council approval to put a proper building there on the site. But Pastor Mondock, when he received his rates bill, realised he was paying rates for the building, the house that's on the land, but also for the rates for a building that's not on the land. And so he asked around, and they said, yeah, there used to be a shack here in the corner of the block and stuff like that. He said, well, if I'm paying for it, I'm going to build it. So that's what we started doing there. And we built that building from the scrap out of the building that we bought in Baben. When we took the roof off and things like that, so we built the structure out of the old wood from there. So we're trying to use as much second-hand material as we possibly can. And that building, when we finally get proper approval to build something on the land in Sibiu, we'll pull that down and put proper foundations in and things like that. So that's why it kind of looked a little bit shabby is not quite the right word, but it didn't look like much. But now we've finished the inside of the building. So it looks wonderful on the inside, and the outside is not so great, but on the inside it looks good. And they had their first meetings in that building in Sibiu a few weeks ago, and it was actually really quite interesting because in Rimnicka Vulture, where we live, we've been renting a Lutheran church for, it had to be the last 15 years, and that we were asking for a long-term lease in that building. And the only person that was against us was one of the ladies in the Lutheran church in our town. And her name is Mrs. Pretoriana, and she was very against, and she kind of swayed everyone to not give us that long-term lease. And in the meantime, her husband died, and she's been alone, and she's had no help from anybody, and she began to get sick, and we took her to the doctors in Sibiu and, you know, brought her back home and stuff like that, and were very kind to her. And she actually came to the first meeting at that building in Sibiu after it had been, when it was now then functional. And so we're praying for her that she'll get saved. And we've been praying for her to get saved for the last, 12 years, but she seems to be more open to the gospel, and we would appreciate your prayers for her that she would make a decision for Christ. And that could open the door for us to be able to also get that long-term lease that we wanted to get in Rimnicka Vulture. I mean, that's not the reason why we wanted to get saved, but it could be a good result of that. And so we'd appreciate your prayers with that situation. And you would have seen the building in Baben. We were able to get it to lock-up stage the day before I left to come to Australia. And I wasn't sure if that was quite going to happen, but it worked out that way so that we could lock the door and walk away, and we don't have to worry about it again until we get back to Romania. The Lord's been good to us in many ways in Romania, and we've enjoyed seeing how God works in the hearts of people in building His church. And even though we've had many difficulties, especially in the last 4 years, we've just had troubles in the church in the city, in the Rimnicka Vulture, but also just different other things that have come into our lives and changes that have had to be made that have made it difficult. We can look back on the last 4 years and see how God has worked through those difficulties to bring people into His kingdom. And so, you know, we don't like to go through difficulties, but if that's what God needs to do to bring people into His kingdom, then we're happy with that. And those times where you go through that are struggles, that are discouraging times, that are times where, you know, you feel like nothing's going on, God is still working. Amen? And that's what we have to to focus on and see over the big picture what God is really doing in our lives and in the lives of others, and how He's bringing His church together and using that body to spread the light into the world. This morning I want to speak to you from the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And we'll read from verse 4 through to verse 14, but the message is mainly going to be around verses 12 to 14. So Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count those things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, neither were it already perfect, but I follow after that, if I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us from it, and Lord, that you would bless us and encourage us in the faith, and that people that are around us and our families and the people that we work with and the people that we know, Lord, would see a change, they would see Christ, and that they would see that they have a need for the gospel. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so in Romania, we have probably 95% of the population is what they were called Romanian Orthodox. And the Orthodox Church is basically, it's a spin-off from the Catholic Church. There was a great division between the East and the West. And the division was based upon what or how one should worship. And the East, the Catholic Church, that is of today, said that they want to use statues. So they have statues of Mary and Jesus and the saints. And the Orthodox said we want to have pictures, because statues are idols, and pictures are not. So basically, it was a fight about which idols we should worship. And so the Orthodox Church has pictures of Mary and Jesus and all the saints and things like that. And when they go to the church, all the saints are on the walls. They're all painted on the walls, and as if they're watching you or looking down upon you, or you know, making sure that you're doing everything right. And so there are all these pictures of the saints and of Christ and all these different things from the Bible, and angels and the heavenly hosts and things like that. And so if you have a specific need, there would be a saint that would be that is designated for that specific need. So you go to that saint and you pray to that saint and you kiss the picture and you walk off, and now everything's okay. See, that's the way the Orthodox Church works. And many of the Orthodox people, when we talk to them about the Lord, they say, "Oh, but do you have the saints in your church?" And we say, "Well, we don't have the saints on the walls. We have the saints in the benches." Amen. That's where the saints are supposed to be. We're supposed to be in sitting in the church and alive. And it's actually quite interesting when you begin to talk to an Orthodox person about the saints, and because in the Bible it says you have to help the saints, right? And for them, in their mind, it's like, no, the saints help you. How can you help the saints? They're in heaven. You know, how can you get there? But the Bible says, help the saints. And so they begin to think, oh, hang on a second, what's with this? And then many different times, you know, Paul writes to the saints in Corinth and the saints in Philippi and the saints here and the saints there. And I said, who is he writing to? Is he writing to dead people already in heaven? Is that who he's writing to? No, he's writing to living people in his time that were in the churches. And so we are supposed to be saints. We are now holy in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been separated unto God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore we are saints. We've been turned from sinner to saint, from death to life, from the darkness to the light. And our life is supposed to reflect what we are. And so we are to live as saints. We are ambassadors of Christ. And so an ambassador is a representative of the country. And we know as an ambassador for Australia to Romania. Okay, what people look upon, when they look upon him, they say, oh, that's what all people are like in Australia. And we are ambassadors for Christ. And therefore, when they look upon us, they should say, that's what people are like that are in heaven. Amen? That's the way a heavenly person should live. They should live a holy life. And Jesus says to us, when we've done all that we have been told to do, we should call ourselves unprofitable servants, because we have simply done what we were asked to do. We didn't do anything over and above. And sometimes we think that you know, we should be rewarded for doing good. But we're supposed to do the good. That's what we're supposed to do, you know. And we don't do anything over and above that to be more good or to be better than those things. We think if we just do good, then everything's okay. You know, I should get a good reward for being good. So, well, actually, you're supposed to be good, you know. That person goes, a sinner goes to hell, he could have been good in his life, but he's still a sinner, and he's still going to suffer the punishment of the second death. And so he is found guilty because he is a sinner, and he has not done what he was made to do, which was to do good. So how is a saint supposed to live? How's the saint supposed to live? Because I don't know about you, but it's not easy to do good. You know, it's easy to not do evil. Okay, because we know what's wrong. We know what's bad. Usually when a person gets saved, he says, well, this is bad, that's bad, that's bad, that's bad. If I don't do those things, then I'm good. It doesn't work that way, does it? You know, I actually have to do good things to be a good person. So I actually have to actively do good, not just not do the evil. And so the Apostle Paul here, he's talking about his own personal life, his own personal testimony. He says, look, there are so many things in my life that I could trust in, and that I could say, yes, I'm okay, I'm going to be all right. Everyone should look upon my life and see the perfectness of my life. You know, I'm a Jew, I'm from the tribe of Benjamin, you know, I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees, you know, I have zeal for God, I do according to the law, I'm blameless, you know, I haven't done anything wrong according to the law, so that makes me good, and I could trust in that, and I'd still be wrong. And he says, I have to put aside all of that. And he says, I count it as dung, I count it as waste, I count it as a loss to me, so that I might win Christ. And the Christian life is that journey, trying to win Christ, trying to know him and to live for him and to live like him. And so he says, I put aside all the fleshly things, all the things that I could trust in, and I begin to trust in Christ, and I begin to live the way that he would want me to live. So he says in verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings and being made conformable unto his death. And that is an active desire to do good, to know more and to be more than what I am today. Now, I can be saved, but that doesn't mean that I'm going to be good. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I need to actively search those things out and change myself to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ so that I can fulfill the works, the good works that God has prepared for me. And this is part of being a saint. Being a saint. And it's not something I can just say, well, I'm going to make a decision this year and everything's going to be okay. Well, that doesn't work like that. It has to be on a moment-by-moment walk with the Lord. And this is where we begin to see the difficulties, because we don't always walk moment-by-moment with him. And what actually needs to happen is when there's a situation come up in our life, and those situations are usually caused by the relationships that are around us. Whether we're in our families or at work or in the street, whenever we come in contact with another human being, that's the moment when we have to be walking with Christ and be in the right attitude so that we can communicate with those people in the right way. And that is part of being holy and being a saint. What are my relationships like? And so every time we come in contact with another human being, doesn't matter where we are or who it is, we should always be reliant on the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, how do you want me to react in this situation? What am I to do? There's an old saying, you know, when you step on a tube of toothpaste, what comes out? Toothpaste. You know, if you step on a tomato, what comes out? Tomato juice, right? You know, and so when a person steps on you or on your feelings or annoys you in some way, what's going to come out? The real, true nature that is within is going to come out. And if we haven't been walking with the Lord, what's going to come out? The flesh. The flesh is going to come out, and it's not going to be pretty. You know, and that's so we have to realize that at those moments where things don't go the way that we want them to, or something happens that we don't like, that's when we really see where we're at in our Christian life. Am I a saint? Have I been conformed in the image of Christ? And we have to remember what Christ went through, the sufferings he went through, the mockings, the rejection, all those things, and still he remained without sin. He remained without sin. He remained holy. He was still the perfect Son of God. And so when we get to the book of Hebrews, it says that we can come to him and the throne of his grace, that we might receive help in the time of need. And we do that because he was able to go through his life and not sin. Therefore, he knows how to go through life and not sin. So when we ask him what we need to do, how we need to deal with a certain situation, he can show us the way to do it without sinning, without doing anything wrong. And so that's why we have to walk with him and grow with him. And it is a race. This is a... He mentions this many, many times in the Bible, in the writings of the Apostle Paul. He talks about this race and having to press towards the mark or finish the race or that we should run the race with patience. And always he refers to the Christian life as a race. And here in the book of Philippians, he tells us some interesting things about the race and how we should run the race and how we should live this Christian life. And first of all, he says in verse 12, not as though I had already attained. And I want you to think about a race, an Olympic race, okay? And think about it in a situation where there's a person who he already knows that he is going to win. He's the fastest runner. He knows that it doesn't matter what the opponents do, they'll never be as good as him. Okay, he's going to go into that race, and he's not going to run the race as at the best that he could. He's going to run it knowing that he's going to win. And when you know you're going to win, you don't run as hard as you need to, because you think, oh, I can run maybe 75% of my full capacity. Why put the effort in when I know that I'm going to win in the end anyway? And so he says, I don't run the race as though I've already won it, even though we have already got the plan of God is that we will be in heaven, and there are rewards, and there is a place prepared for us. We know that it's there, but we don't run the race as if we've already won. Okay, it changes the attitude of the runner. If you think you've already won the race, if you've paid the judges so that you can win, okay, then you're not going to run as hard as if you would run if your life depended upon it. See? So he says, I don't run the race as though I've already attained, as though I've already made it to the end. That's not the proper attitude for the Christian life. And sometimes as Christians we can think that way. We think, oh, look, I've got my ticket to heaven. I've got my house, my home prepared for me there. I don't have to try as hard to be holy, because it's going to be all right. I'm in the family of God, and you know it's going to be fine. I don't have to worry about it. And we can become very apathetic towards the things of God, towards the things that are really, really important. And we run the race as though, you know, we've already paid off the judges to give us the gold when we get to the end. And that's not the way that it should happen. And Peter, and the Apostle Paul says, no, I don't run as though I've already attained, neither as a person who's already perfect. Okay? We're already perfect, he says there. And what is this talking about? It's talking about, well, I've trained well enough now, and now I can just rely upon what I've already done, all the work that I've already done, and just glide in through the rest of the race. I don't have to keep on training. But have you noticed that doesn't always work with professional athletes? If you look at a professional athlete, he has to train to attain a certain level of performance. But if he stops training, what happens? His body just begins to deteriorate, and he no longer runs at that performance level. He has to continue to train so that his body will stay at that level of performance. And he says, look, I don't run the Christian race or prepare for the Christian race as if I'm already perfect. I've already got it all together. You know, I don't have to try anymore. I know the Bible. I've read it 10 times. Why do I have to read it again? Why do I have to keep on praying for these things that I need to pray for? Why do I have to continue to go out and witness to people and talk to people? Why do I have to do those things? I've already know as much as I need to know. I've trained hard, and now I'm just going to glide into the finish line. And that's the way I'm going to live my Christian life. Paul said, that's not the way I run the race. I don't run it as if I know I've already run it. I don't run the race as if, I know enough now and I'm just going to plateau and I'm just going to glide in. No, that's not how you run a race. He says, what do I do? And verse 13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so we are to not rely upon what we have already done, okay, to get us to the end the way that we should get there. Like Paul, he said, I've done this and I was a Pharisee and I did all these things. He said, but that, you know, I have to count what was in the past as nothing, as loss, so that I might win Christ. And so we forget the past achievements. We remember them in that it encourages us in the faith, saying, well, God helped me there and he helped me there and he helped me there and he helped me there. But I don't rely upon the past to secure my future. I have to keep on pushing. If God could help me there, he can help me now. Amen? If he can help me now, he can help me in the future. And I have to continue to rely upon him and rely upon his strength to be able to get me through to the end. And so he says here, I forget the things which are behind and I reach forth to those things which are in the future. And here he's looking at this as a man who's in the race and he's pressing forth to the finish line. He's exerting his entire body to try and get his chest across the line first. And I don't know if you've seen recently in the past in the Olympics and different other track and field events, but there were people who actually threw their bodies across the line and got first place. Even though they were behind, they were coming second. They've actually launched themselves and jumped and went through the line without touching the ground, and their chest went across before the other person. They were stretching forth for the mark. Stretching is like this, okay? And then these people were throwing themselves. And I like the Romanian Bible. The Romanian Bible says, throwing myself forward. Throwing myself forward. And I think to myself, you know, if I'm reaching out to the future, I can always kind of pull back if I want to. You know, I can reach out for something, and if I can't quite reach it as much as I can, okay, I can give up. But when you throw yourself, there's no way back, is there? You can't jump through the air and then go, oh, I changed my mind, I'm going to go back. It doesn't work that way. You can't do it. And so you're throwing yourself forward into the pretty much the arms of Christ to try and to win this race. And that's the way that we're supposed to run the Christian race. Not as though we've already got the gold, okay, which we have. Every man, woman and child that receives Christ as Saviour, they have the same result. They go to heaven, they have a place there, they get to see Christ, there are certain rewards there that can be gained. And so we can say, well, my name's written in heaven. The race is over. Now I can just sit back and do nothing. No, I can't do that. Okay, or I'm going to say, well, I know enough now to be able to live a reasonably good Christian life. No, I have to continue to train. I need to continue to keep that level of performance up. Otherwise, I'm not going to understand the full riches of the Christian life and the abundant Christian life. But I have to forget those things which are behind, press on forwards and press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. This prize which he's talking about, sometimes we think it's heaven, but it's not. It's Christ himself. The prize is him. We need to be and can be conformed into his image. And when we become like Christ, okay, then we begin to live and be used by God in a very profound way. So in Romania, as I was saying, they put all the saints on the walls, and they say we don't have to live like saints. You know, we have the saints to help us, but that's not the way it's supposed to be. The saints are supposed to be in the benches of the churches, and they're supposed to live a holy life. And they're supposed to live a life that's like Christ. And when you look at all the things that Christ went through and how he reacted to those different things, are we reacting like him? Are we acting like him? Are we speaking like him? Are we doing what he would do? Are we living Christ's life? Yeah. Or have we begun to plateau out and say, well, you know, I've already know as much as I need to know. I don't need to know anymore. I don't need to do any more, And you know, I've seen a lot of Christians that have done that, and they rely upon the victories of the past, and they'll tell these stories about what happened 20 years ago. And you say, so what are you doing now? Oh no, I haven't done anything now for a long time, you know. But that was really great back then. Well, so you can have the same really great time now, 20 years later, if you want to. Oh yeah, I'm okay. I've paid my dues. I've done my part, you know, stuff like this. And so, but if you felt that was a great time then, don't you want to have a great time now? Don't you want to have that abundant Christian life now as well? Don't you want to live that Christian life? You know, and this comes from continuing the train, not running the race as though I've already been made perfect, because none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. We all need to continue to become more and more like Christ. And so I wanted to encourage you this morning not to be apathetic towards the Christian life, not to be apathetic towards the things which are godly and which are holy, and to learn more of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to make our lives a life that is constantly in dependence upon Him, not based upon the things of the past, but based upon the life of, on this day, today. What is Christ wanting to do in my life today? And when we do things like this, God is able to work and continue to work through us and make us a blessing. We've seen so many different interesting things in Romania that have really helped us and encouraged us in the past. But we can't rely upon those things. Things need to continue on into the future. And we need to look forward to what God wants to do in the next 4 years. And so we're praying and we're asking the Lord, what is it? What do you want us to do? And is it another church? Is it another area that you want us to minister in? Is it, you know, what is the plan? And as a church, we should be thinking of that, about that same thing. Lord, what do you want us to do this year? What is the aim? What is the goal? What is it that you want us to fulfill? Is there another work that you would like us to do? Is there another thing that another place that needs the gospel? Is there another group of people somewhere that need the Lord that we can go and minister to? What is it that Christ wants you to do? Maybe you've had many victories in the past, but God wants to have many victories with you today and into the future. Amen. There are victories to be won, and so don't rely upon what you've already attained. Don't rely upon the fact that everything's already written down and God has it all under control. Don't do that. Run the race as someone who has his life depending upon it. Run it and say, I need to win that race and I need to run my best and finish that race in such a way that God will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And press towards and throw ourselves into the arms of God and allow Him to carry us through the next victory. And so may God bless you. This evening we'll talk about the plan of the mission field and how what is God's plan in the world and what He's been doing over the last, which is basically what He's been doing over the last 2,000 years, and how we can be a part of that plan. So today we want to talk about being saints, being holy. What does God require of us? And then this evening we'll talk about the mission field and the nuts and bolts about what God has ordained and planned for missions, and how we can be a part of that. And I'd encourage you to come again this evening and hear that last message. So, if there's someone here today that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour, that hasn't got his name written in heaven, that hasn't had the previous victories of the past, that is without Christ, without hope, without God in the world, maybe today is the day where you can come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. Amen. He has died for you. He rose again from the dead. He is awaiting for you to come and ask for forgiveness for your sins. He wants to turn you from a sinner into a saint. Take you from death to life. Take you from the kingdom of darkness and bring you into the light. And if you would just, if you would like to come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior today, then after the service, I'm sure there are many people in the church that you would be able to talk to, and they would be able to show you exactly what you need to do to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Don't rely upon things which in the past. Rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ only. Amen. Amen. May God bless you all, and we'll see you later this evening. Thank you.